I want to explain something. I have received 11 questions, and out of 11, there are two are not really relevant to prophesying, but the other nine are all relevant to the subject of prophesying. So please listen carefully to our fellowship. Then you'll get the answer you're looking for. In addition, besides reading the outline, please get your recovery version with footnotes ready. Today we will look into some footnotes. Also, please get your supplemental hymnal ready. We will get into some hymns. Anyone? Brother Zuhao, do you have your recovery version? Do you with footnotes? You have supplement hymns? This brother just got saved for 2 years, so I kind of called him out. Brothers and sisters, we will fellowship based on the outline, but we will condense them into three questions. So please open up your questions. You probably have gotten this blue booklet, right? If you open up this booklet, page 4 in my pamphlet. The fourth series, third message. Can you find it? If not, please raise up your hand. Do you have any question? The fourth series, series 4, message 3. There are three questions. When we try to answer these questions, we will go over the entire outline of this message. How about amen? I feel I'm a pretty good teacher, right? Do you say amen? Thank you. Let's read the first question. According to 1 Corinthians 14, prophesying, maybe the sisters can read it again. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, how to live out a prophesying life. What is prophesying? How to live out the prophesying life? Please open up the outline. Brother Gao will help us to go over this question.
I will give an opening word and the brothers will supplement. I believe we have been in the Lord's recovery for some years and we have all learned to prophesy. And even this time, many brothers and sisters have used the prophesying to speak what they have learned and enjoyed. In this outline, we see we need to speak for God and for Christ. And also we speak for God and Christ. Furthermore, we dispense God and Christ into people to speak for God and Christ, to speak for God and Christ, and to speak God and Christ into people. This is not only just to speak, but also to supply and dispense into the saints. Today, we all can speak this kind of word, but the process is not so easy. This requires a kind of process. When Brother Lee began to push this burden of prophesying, I wanted to do a research to see throughout the church history, has it ever been a practice of prophesying? Throughout the centuries, Christians have become used to just one pastor or preacher speaking. This kind of prophesying one by one Has this ever happened in church history? I spent some time to research, and it seems like I could not find any situation like this. I asked a brother this time, has there ever been this kind of situation where brothers speak to one another? From the 4th century, since Constantine made Christianity the religion of the nation, then the church becomes in a big scale. And in order to maintain this kind of big scale, large scale meeting, you need someone who is trained and perfected to speak. So since then, Christians become expert listeners. Everyone is listening. They all practice listening, but their capacity to speak, because of this kind of religious system, gradually the ability to speak decline and deteriorate. But before that, many of the meetings happen in the home. Like in the home meeting, we don't always have a very gifted person to speak. It's usually just believers speaking to one another and answering one another. They speak to one another and preach to one another and supply to one another. This kind of one another speaking to one another meeting gradually disappeared. Catholic Church not only replaced the functioning of the saints, but also brought in many unspiritual things. Martin Luther, during Reformation, brought in the truth of justification by faith. Even at that time, there was no speaking from the people. Even at that time, all the meeting places are all big cathedral, big meetings. When you go into that kind of meeting, you would be silent and you'd be afraid to speak. So the saints' function gradually disappear. So when we begin to practice this, Brother Lee, in the book, the speaking on Lord's Day is a custom of the nation. The result of this kind of speaking replaces the saints' function. Clergy laity system replaces the functioning of the saints. As a result, the saints cannot freely speak for the Lord. But praise the Lord, since 1987, Brother Lee began. From that time, we stopped having one man speaking on Lord's Day. Throughout the island of Taiwan, we began to prophesy on Lord's Day. And gradually, the prophesying meeting spread to the whole earth. No matter what church you're in North America or in Asia or Russia or Europe, Australia or New Zealand, all the brothers and sisters on Lord's Day are speaking Christ, speaking for God, and dispense and supply Christ into people. This is a great, important recovery among us. This is not only to recover the truth, but also to recover the kind of church life that we ought to have.
I will add one more point. The question is, what is prophesying? In Roman numeral 2 of the outline, point A, it says prophesying in the way of 1 Corinthians 14. This is very significant. Prophesying is mentioned many times in the Bible, but here it says the prophesying is in the way of 1 Corinthians 14. So what is the way of 1 Corinthians 14? And then what is the purpose of prophesying? The purpose is to build up the church. So the subject, the message title says the present urgent needs in the Lord's recovery. I was considering, is prophesying one of the urgent needs? Is it that urgent? When Brother Lee shared about the urgent needs in 1995, he touched on the new revival and the vital groups and the prophesying. So from 1995 until now, it's been 30 years. From 1995, Brother Lee fellowshiped about this urgent needs. It's been almost 30 years.
Are we so earnestly desiring it?
Is it that urgent?
Is this very urgent? Yes.
So I've been thinking, why did Brother Lee feel it's urgent? But it seems like it's not urgent to us.
Concept about prophesying and the way we practice prophesying, there's a gap.
Amen. So our mind needs to be renewed. The other day, the brother also mentioned, if your house is on fire, would it be urgent?
Book.
You will rush back. And how about if your child is sick?
Would you be anxious?
Would it be urgent?
Yes. If your kid
If my child is sick, of course it's urgent to me.
Yes.
If my wife is giving birth,
it depends
of course
on which,
it's an urgent need.
Which child, how many more, whether there are other previous births.
I hope your wife wouldn't hear that. So is it really that urgent? Here, when Paul speaks of prophesying, I really touched the sense of urgency within him. I counted in 1 Corinthians 14, you know how many times Paul spoke of building? 7 times. And within this short chapter, he repeated prophesying. In verse 3, he who prophesies is speaking building up. And then verse 4, he who prophesies built up the church. And then verse 5, I desire that you all prophesy for the building up. And you need a desire to be excellent in this matter. And then it says, speaking in tongues will not build up people.
Let's read verse 26
and
together.
Later on, this is in 26.
Whenever you come together,
has
a teaching,
each one has a song,
has a revelation,
has a teaching,
has a tongue,
has a revelation,
has an interpretation,
has a tongue, has an interpretation.
Let all things be done for building up.
Let all things be done for building
things.
Up.
One is psalms, teaching, and revelation, and tongue, and interpretation. The first three are one group. The last two are one group.
This is very significant. This verse talks about building, which is the purpose of building, of prophesying. And another one is each one has. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus said, I will build up my church. And then 2,000 years have passed. In Paul's times, he realized this matter is urgent. How can the church be built up by prophesying? Only by prophesying can we build up the church. So this is the desperation in Paul. And Brother Lee also saw this burden. He realized that this matter is critical. This word has is very interesting. So what is prophesying? Number one, speaking for the Lord. speaking for God, speaking forth God in Christ,
and
minister and dispense God in Christ. How can you prophesy? Each one has, it's very important. What if you don't have? Then can you prophesy? One time a brother told a story. He said a brother wanted to prophesy. On Lord's Day, on Saturday, he was preparing, but after a while, he couldn't come up with anything to share. So he told his wife to prepare for this prophesying. It's harder than you're giving birth. And then his wife said, no, do you know how painful it is to give birth? But that brother said, but you had in your belly so you could give birth, but I don't have in my belly. So each one has is very important. If we don't have, then it is really hard to prophesy.
To prophesy is not that simple.
So
you heard Brother Ling's sharing this morning. If you have something that is outward, maybe someone assigns you to do something, you may not be happy. But if it's something that you have eaten in, taking in, then it's inside of you. So having it inward versus outward is totally different. Okay, now let's come to the third, Roman numeral 3. First, you must have, everyone has. Because this is the Lord's, this is the difference between the Lord's recovery and the entire Christianity. Have you heard before someone who comes into us and said, how come each one of you is a pastor in your meetings? Brothers and sisters, not only we are pastors, we all are all better than pastors, because we have what? Because we have the Recovery Version Bible. Let's come to the third point. We will get into this topic of how each one can have. If we love the Lord, it's point C. If we love the Lord, we will be filled with him.
I will give another opening. To have. It really need to have. If I don't have it, no matter how hard I try, nothing will come up. We know there are a lot of reference books, very rich in content, but they often stay in the bookshelves. The books on the shelves can only be a kind of decoration or display. But for us, we must have pursuit. We must truly love the Lord, desire the Lord. We enjoy the Lord. Then he becomes my content. So in this, the verse reference show us that when we love the Lord, it's not just in our words that we love the Lord. We must love the Lord with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and with our whole mind, and with our whole strength. Throughout history, there are many examples of those who love the Lord. Like Mary, because she loved the Lord, she took this costly ointment and broke it and poured on the Lord. And the whole house was filled with fragrance. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians, said we are captives, taken captive in his triumph. We become this fragrance bearer. Wherever we go, to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing, we are the fragrance of Christ. This should be our testimony. When I love a Lord or when I love a person, then I often think of him and I would want to listen to him. And I'm attracted by him. When we love the Lord, spontaneously we are filled with him. We will spontaneously think of him and we will speak for him. And for the Lord will have many words to speak. But I confess, Lord, I have not reached this degree. This is not the kind of living I have. Within me, there's a lot of repentance, a lot of prayer, so that I will love you more. I will be filled with you more, that there will be nothing that replaces you. Here, there's an example. There's an example of a sister.
Truly, as I was preparing, I also had a realization regarding this point. A lot of times, so prophesying is not a matter of a method, but a matter of our living. We need to have a living by loving the Lord to the uttermost. When we talk about prophesying, we will have this fear. Many sisters said, I can go to serve, but if you ask me to prophesy, I'm scared, because public speaking is a difficult thing for many people. But I don't know if you realize this subject here says pursuing prophesying. It doesn't say practicing prophesying, but pursuing prophesying. So usually we say, I pursue my wife, but why do we pursue prophesying? And I discovered a message by Brother Lee. He said, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, which is also very, very important. Let's read it together. Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Here it says pursue. Number one, you need to pursue love. And then you need to pursue spiritual gifts, especially you may prophesy. How did Brother Lee explain this? He said love is Christ. And then prophesying is also Christ. This is my first time hearing this. Prophesying is not just a matter, but a person. Prophesying is just Christ. So if I pursue prophesying, that means I pursue Christ. Brother Lee said, every week we need to start with love and then end with prophesying. Brother Gao just mentioned in Roman numeral 3, we see that we need to live a prophesying life by loving the Lord to the uttermost. Actually, Brother Lee didn't say that we need to live a prophesying life by loving the Lord to the uttermost. And then in point B, this is in Collected Works of Witness Lee in 1988, Brother Lee talked about Peace Wang, Sister Peace Wang. He said, Sister Peace Wang loved the Lord to the uttermost. She was only at the time 25 years old, a young sister, but because she loved the Lord to the uttermost, that became her motive. Brother Lee said, up until that time, he said he had never seen a person with that kind of great authority in speaking, not only brothers, not only sisters, but even brothers. He said, when I heard her speaking, my curiosity was taken away. Every word that she uttered captured me. I was fully convinced by her. Brother Lee was convinced by a young sister speaking. Why? Because with this sister, she had a quality. She had an essence and factor, which became the authority in her speaking.
Many remember when Brother Lee heard this word on his path home, Brother Lee prayed to the Lord. This prayer, perhaps many of you remember, said, Lord, from now on, even the world, whatever the Lord would give to me, I don't want it. I would be willing to preach the Lord no matter what. This is the testimony from this sister, a living testimony. She was only 25 years old. How could her speaking so powerful, so impactful? Because she is a person who loves the Lord to the uttermost.
Loving the Lord to the uttermost.
Brother Lee said that he was just a nominal Christian, but since that time, he was totally changed. So prophesying is not a way, skill, or show, but prophesying, behind it, there is a life of love, a loving life. I hope that we all have that kind of love, loving the Lord to the uttermost. Like Brother Gao already said, the captivating love. You may ask me, do you love the Lord? Yes, I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I have to get up early in the morning and attending the meetings. Sometimes I may feel tired in the meetings. I may just doze off. But regardless of this, I love the Lord. That's why I'm here. But do I love the Lord to a point that I'm become a captive of Him? We need to love the Lord to a point that we are all the captives to the Lord. We can, you know, for us to be like brother, sister, peace one, to have that kind of authority. Now, we want to conclude this section with a hymn. Some of you may know this hymn, some may not have heard this hymn before. I hope some of you know how to recite even this song. This song was actually written by Brother Lee. Lord, this was written before Brother Lee's passing. Those who can recite the song, please stand up together with me. If you have not heard this song, you have to learn it. When you feel you're weak, when you feel you don't want to come to the meetings, you should sing this hymn. It would help you. We will just sing once. Lord, I love you. I love you deeply. Without you, I'm living in vain. You are full of attraction and you have charmed me. Your riches is unsearchable. Oh, Lord, your name is so sweet. Calling on your name is so satisfying. Lord, you belong to me. Lord, I belong to you. United and blended with you, and men and God are incorporated into one. This is the foretaste of the new reality of the new Jerusalem. Thank you. Please sit down. New Jerusalem is also in this hymn. Brothers and sisters, now let's come to the second question.
Now we have some understanding of the prophesying. Now, what is the constitution of the prophecy? If you want to become a prophesying person, what is the content of our prophesying?
Brothers and sisters, you can refer to Roman numeral 5 and Roman numeral 6. 5 and 6. Let's read Roman numeral 5. We need to see the composition of a prophecy according to the way in 1 Corinthians 14. And here, the way in 1 Corinthians 14. We see the composition. Roman numeral 6. We need to see the basic constituents of a prophecy. The basic constituents. One is composition, one is constituents. What is composition? Let me find someone who's very handsome. Brother Zihao, please come. Please turn around and face everyone. Our brother Zihao, his hair is so beautiful. Eyes are beautiful. Nose is beautiful. Ears are beautiful. Smile, please. If he doesn't have an ear, you feel it's very awkward, disgusting. Now cover up your nose. Smile. So Brother Zihao, he is complete with his composition, with eyes, ears, nose. Then what is the constituents? Are you full? Yes. And you slept well? Yes. Now he is fully rested. You caught a COVID a few weeks ago, right? Please show us how you are like when you had a COVID. His head was low. Don't smile. That day in the morning, he had a COVID. And right afterward, when he saw that he tested negative, he came right away to the meeting. And he lived in the back row. You saw him. You feel he was like a little kitten, just came out of rain. So his components were composition. There's no problem with his components, but his constitutions were not full. So constituents are something inward. Composition is somewhere, it's outside. So for prophesying, you do need to care for the composition, but you need to have basic constituents. You need to pay attention to both of these. Let's come to Roman numeral 5, point A. The knowledge and experience of God, Christ, and spiritual things. Please underline the composition is, first of all, is the knowledge and experience of God, first, and spiritual things. And secondly, the utterance to speak forth what we know and have experienced of God. First, you need the knowledge and you need the experience. And secondly, you have the utterance. You can express. Have you seen this teacher, maybe red-faced, the teacher could be very rich in his knowledge, but he could be lack of utterance. But here, when we say the utterance, it's not of our natural utterance. I was the group leader in school, And I was the captain of the debate team in college, not just in my department, but in my whole college. And I represented our college. I was a lead debater. So I have pretty good utterance. But in the meetings, I was very fond of using my own natural mind. But then I realized, see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says that we need to explain the spiritual things with a spiritual word. Since then, I started to hate my own natural utterance. I started to learn to use the spiritual words. Father Lee said, the new culture has a new language. So we need to have the spiritual words to explain spiritual things. Now, point C, under this Roman numeral, the sight under the divine enlightenment. In other words, we may have knowledge, experience, and utterance. But yet, how about my person? I need the Lord's word to first have some effective, to be effective. The first thing is that I need the enlightening. Recently, we've been talking about exercising the spirit, right? I don't know what kind of concept you have regarding this. Is it, oh, Lord Jesus, with a very high volume of voice? Or you pray, read? Oh, in the beginning, there's the word, in the beginning. But the blended spirit, the mingled spirit, has three functions. One is our conscience. Two, the intuition. Three, fellowship. When we say exercising our spirit, calling on the Lord, first of all, what touches us is our conscience. One time there was a mother who was kind of a senior. She told me, oh, Brother He, my son, after he comes back from the training, when he gets up in the morning calling on the Lord, but he doesn't do dishes. He doesn't take care of his bedding, his sheets. Why? His conscience has not been touched or changed. Do you know what I'm talking about? So, pray, calling on the Lord, prayer reading is not an action. It's for exercising our conscience, our fellowship, our intuition, so that under the divine enlightenment, that we can be brought under divine enlightenment. Point B, the instant inspiration. So first one is the knowledge and experience, and then utterance, and then the divine enlightenment, and then the instant inspiration. Please turn to the John, 1 John 1, 3. Let's also use the footnotes. 1 John. I just want to go over one footnote. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Do you all have it? That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And please, let's go to the first footnote. In the verse 1, we first hear and then we see. But here, it's just the opposite. In receiving revelation, hearing is the basic, is fundamental. In preaching and proclaiming, we need to see, and this it should be our basis. But what we preach should be our understanding and comprehension of what we have heard and see. So when we try to preach something, we first need the sight, the enlightenment. Without enlightenment, we may be talking about experience and knowledge, but it's all outward. It's all from our natural self. This is why we say that when we go through, when we try to compose a prophecy, we should pay attention to the footnotes. For example, if you go to John, 1 John, you will realize that John was living in this divine fellowship. We access our spirit, then we have the fellowship, intuition, and conscience. In this fellowship, we get enlightened. We have the sight. Then what we see, we can tell out. This is called prophesying. Don't try to show off your utterance. You will do damage to yourself. Don't try to use your own natural knowledge, because you won't even touch you. You won't even get yourself touched. We just need to exercising. We need to exercise to stay in the fellowship, so that when the divine light coming to me, Lord, I get shone on. Lord, please forgive me for what I have said, something that I shouldn't have said. When we're in the light and our preaching, our prophesying is a genuine prophesying. Roman numeral 6. The first basic constituent of a prophecy is a personal knowledge of the scriptures. So as I said before, First John 1:3. Without the footnote, you may be still staying in your own natural mind concept. Our prophesying needs to be enlightened through fellowship. So you see, it's not easy. Brothers and sisters, I don't know whether you have grasped what I was trying to say. Your knowledge, your knowing of the Bible requires time, requires your effort, requires you to dig in. I will just read it. Here, the experience, it doesn't mean, you know, this is just your personal experience. Oh, I couldn't find my keys. Oh, I found it under the sofa. This is very Pentecostal. It's not really of life. Let's read it together. It's the Roman numeral 5b. The utterance to speak forth what we know and have experienced of God, Christ, and the spiritual things. We need to ask ourselves, is my experience in this context? This is Roman numeral 6b. Our experience should be high and not just based on some kind of a materials things. So what is the composition and constituents are all explained by these outlines. I hope you're not discouraged by me. I hope you're not frustrated. I hope you have the desire. Lord, I'm still young. You're still young. Lord, give me 20 more years that I can be constituted inwardly, that outwardly inwardly have the constitutions, outwardly have the compositions.
I will add a point. I'm really touched. The third point in the compositions, the sight under the divine enlightenment concerning the situation and environment in which we are. Brother Lee mentioned one thing. We need to supply and dispense Christ into people. So sometimes we're like a waiter or waitress. We want to supply food. But when we supply the food, we offend them. Because what we speak do not truly care for their situation. Maybe he is already full. He's already eaten. He doesn't need anything. Or maybe he needs this kind of food, but what you give him is too spicy or too salty, cannot meet their situation. Why do we need to know? We need to be enlightened ourselves. If we want to get this food, dispense this food into others, we need to contact, not only contact the Lord, but also contact the saints to know where they are. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord said, who is the prudent slave who will give food at the proper time? But he has to be faithful and prudent. He's faithful to the Lord and prudent to the believers. What is to be prudent to the believers? That means you know where they are. We're not the Lord Jesus. I contact a Samaritan woman. I would not know what her needs are. But how could the Lord speak such a word to meet her needs? Because she knew. But we're not. How can we do this? Besides contacting the Lord, we need to contact the saints, so we can supply them. What I remember, what impressed me the most in Brother Nee's book, The Character of a Lord's Worker, he said we need to learn to listen. We need to know, hear and listen and know their situation. We see their true condition. Then I would know how I can supply him. I can truly give food at the proper time. What it says here, we may have supplied food, but what we have said may have offended them, and this may have caused them to lose the appetite. Then we lose.
Let me add one more point. In Roman numeral 6, point C, I think a lot of saints were confused about this. Why does it say that it should not be our own experience, but when we practiced in the past, we had the light, we had the verse, and we also had our experience. So here, first of all, we need to have a personal understanding, knowledge of the scriptures. The second one is we need to have a personal experience of life. So the first one is the knowledge of the scriptures. And the second constituent is the experience of life. So we should not adhere to personal experiences, but we need to have the personal experience of life. These two are different. Brother Lee said, a lot of times after our prophesying, people might be impressed with your jokes, with your stories, but not impressed with God, with Christ. But prophesying should speak forth Christ and speak Christ into people. But actually, you're not speaking Christ, but jokes and stories into people. Maybe this brother or this sister, some characteristics impressed the audience. So I found Brother Lee's demonstration. I found it very helpful. He did, this demo is about 1 minute. He said, a brother could prophesy this way. According to John 1:1, the word, Christ is the word, and Christ is God. And he speaks in me in the word, as word. So this is his personal understanding or knowledge of the Bible. This one, as the word, speaks to me, and then he speaks on his experience. Before I was saved, I lost my temper easily, but now this word in me causes me not to lose my temper. Those unbelievers will only have their conscience functioning, but now we exercise our spirit, and the Lord is living in me. Sometimes I'm not happy with the food prepared for me, but the Lord reminds me that I should be grateful in my heart for everything given to me. So I'm grateful and I repent to the Lord and with a thanksgiving heart to partake of the food. So is this a personal experience? This is personal experience of life. So after hearing this testimony, we'll have feeling about the Lord, about what the Lord said to him. Maybe someone will describe his wife a lot or the dishes of his wife. And that's why I don't like it because she prepares the same food every day, etc. But we're not impressed with the Lord. We need the Lord being spoken into us. So now I have this understanding of this matter.
Now let's come to the third question. It's pretty practical. How to learn to exercise. So this covers Roman numeral 7 and 8. Roman 7. We need to take the following way to learn to prophesy. Roman numeral 8. We need to exercise to prophesy.
I can start. In Roman numeral 7, we see we need to learn to prophesy. Roman numeral 8 says exercise to prophesy. So prophesying involves learning and exercising. Whether learning or exercising, it is a practice. So this time the brothers had a burden that we will pay attention to practice. Over the years, we've been practicing this matter of prophesying. We're all practicing it, but can we improve in our practice? So these words, also you can find it on page 74 within the ministry excerpts. When Brother Lee speaks of the present urgent needs in the Lord's recovery, he talks about the matter of prophesying, pursuing prophesying. Brother Lee says, may the Lord be gracious to us so that we can receive these words. And in our life, in our church life, we can genuinely practice it. Not only practice it, but genuinely, truly practice it. I think we all practice it every week, but do we prophesy, do we practice it genuinely according to the fellowship here? In Roman numeral 7, this is spoken by Brother Witness Lee in 1988. He says, we need to take the following way to learn to prophesy. You can check within yourself, do you take the following way to learn to prophesy? So this is 1 Corinthians 14:26. How can each one of us have? Step one, we need to enjoy the Lord in a portion of the word every morning. The way to do this is by prayer reading. So the first step in prophesying, in learning to prophesy, is to enjoy the Lord in a portion of the word. How long is the portion? Brother Lee says, roughly about two verses. If the portion has 10 verses, you can select two. I think preferably you can use the Holy Word for Morning Revival. It usually includes two or three verses. It's a great means. So the way is by prayer reading. A lot of times in our Morning Revival, we only read or repeat, but this is not prayer reading. But Brother Lee says here, we need to pray read. Number two, we can take notes on the spiritual inspiration we receive. This is very critical. Do we enjoy the Lord? We can check. After our Morning Revival, do we have inspiration? Do we have spiritual inspiration? I often told the saints. We all use the same Holy Word for Morning Revival. I didn't bring mine today, but I can show, otherwise I can show it to you. I highlight. Do you only have highlights or you also have notes? A lot of times we highlight the things that we're touched with. So you draw many lines. You use a lot of markers to highlight. But do you take notes? Brother Lee says we need to take notes on the spiritual inspiration we receive, short notes with certain points. So my practice is in the empty area, I will write down my notes on the spiritual inspiration after prayer reading. Number three, every day we enjoy the Lord, we pray read, we have inspiration. And then on Saturday, I can put all the notes together, all the inspirations on the last day of the week to compose a prophecy for 3 minutes speaking. In Taiwan, I teach in the middle age training. So every week, the trainees need to prepare a prophecy. I know how they prepare. Usually they just copy a verse or they copy a portion from the outline, and they think about what happens that week as their experience. So every time there's word, but a lot of times the word doesn't match the light or doesn't match the experience. But what Brother Lee taught us here, the composition of a prophecy does not come from the outline, but it comes from our notes from the inspiration. So you can compose a prophecy for three minutes. And I actually did some homework. I tried to find why 3 minutes. Ever since 1986, during the elders training, when Brother Lee spoke of prophesying, he said we should prepare a prophecy for 3 minutes. And then in 1988, in various meetings, seven times, he said you should prepare a prophecy for 3 minutes or less than 3 minutes. And then in 1989, in different meetings, he mentioned twice that you should have a prophecy for 3 minutes. And then in 91, again, 3 minutes. Why 3 minutes? He said. In that way, within 1 hour, you can have 20 saints to prophesy. If you take 10 minutes, how many people can prophesy in that meeting? So this is really worth our exercising and practicing. And then it's best to have some tutors tutoring us. Number five, which is basically Roman numeral eight, we need to practice. Practice speaking what we have composed, checking to see whether it is 3 minutes or more. If it is too long, we should shorten it.
One time Bradley told us that you need to speak to the mirror, practice, and you measure the time. And you exercise,
definitely
practice that
worth
way.
Us learning. Number six, on the Lord's Day, we will go to the church having something. 1 Corinthians 14:26, each one has. How can we have? It comes from daily Morning Revival the preparation on Saturday, and on the Lord's Day, you will have. Number seven, when our time comes, we should speak It says we should speak, not read. A lot of times without a prophecy, we just speak randomly. Of course, it will go over 3 minutes. And sometimes with a prophecy prepared, we will read. But it says we should speak, not read our prophecy. And when we speak, we may add something to make it richer. I don't know what's your realization. What's that something? And then number 8, we should always be ready in our spirit to receive the instant inspiration of the Spirit. I feel this is very, very important in our prophesying.
I was strengthened what the brothers had shared. I remember 1 year we were sharing the gospel in the countryside. When some new believers got saved, we asked Brother Ling to come and give us a training on prophesying. My biggest impression was, from the beginning until now, Brother Ling said, I always write prophesying draft. This is what the brothers have shared. This prophesying draft will make what we share concise. Don't just give me the fish head, give me the fish meat, the essence of what you're sharing. Whatever that is unnecessary, not necessary stories, you can eliminate them. Often our prophesying is about a little teaching. People speak for 5 minutes or 7 minutes because they don't write a draft for prophesying. This speaking is to the saints. We should dispense Christ. We should not rely on what we have written down. Once we have the content, we still need to pay attention to the flow of the Holy Spirit. When the saints are meeting, there is a flow of the Holy Spirit. When we follow the flow of the Spirit, when we speak, often we will receive an instant inspiration. If we follow and obey this inspiration, the saints will receive the supply. We need to learn, and we all need to exercise, not to speak a lot of trivial things. Yesterday, Brother Simpson shared, a brother shared a lot, but he felt he doesn't know what he was talking about. It's not just how much we speak. We need to make sure what our speaking has Christ. If we don't have Christ in our speaking, then the saints won't receive anything.
Because of time, let's come to Roman numeral 9. This point is very important. I hope, brothers and sisters, whether you're clear about this chapter, but I hope you'll pay attention. So when you prophesy, you will pay attention to these three chapters mentioned in Roman numeral 9. Paul was burdened to perfect the saints to prophesy based on Acts 20 and Ephesians 4. It is clear that the saints need to be perfected to prophesy. So the key is here, that our prophesying needs to be perfected. When we're being perfected, we also need to learn to perfect other people. We can all be perfected. We can also perfect others. This is building up the body of Christ. So you need to love the Lord, love the church. Prophesying is not for showing off, to care for your face. But it's to build up the church. So our perfection and being perfected are both important, because this is for building up the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Acts 20, and Ephesians 4. They're all different. Don't think that these three chapters all talk about prophesying. In a sense, yes, but they all talk about the perfection and being perfected aspects of prophesying.
Or speak in a concise way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul was helping the Corinthian believers. They really care about tongue speaking. Tongue speaking became a kind of confusion. From the context, you can see the situation was not healthy. They care for tongue speaking, but they did not care for the whole body. In this chapter, brothers share that seven times Paul mentioned building. So when we speak, we must be for the purpose of building up. He who prophesies speaks, building up encouragement and consolation. Prophesying is for all to learn. Prophesying is not easy. Prophesying is not based on our natural talent. Like our brother said, our eloquence cannot build up the church. We need to learn. We need to be regulated. We need to be adjusted. We need to be dealt with. Usually, during the middle age training, I was serving the matter of prophesying. At that time, I was speaking words that I didn't know what I was speaking, but other saints knew I was speaking things that are unnecessary. So when we speak, building up is for the church. Encouragement is for the saints, and consolation is for the believers. If we want to speak for building up, for encouragement and consolation, then I need to be adjusted and regulated. We need to know where they're at, so then we can speak for to supply others. We have vital groups among us. We can ask our companions, is my prophesying appropriate? When we ask our companions, you know, maybe what they say may hurt us, but this will be beneficial to us. This will help us to speak for building up. Maybe I'm too,
First Corinthians 14. Now let's go to Ephesians.
Actually, all three chapters show us that Paul is extremely burdened to perfect the saints in the matter of prophesying. Because why is he so burdened? Because prophesying has everything to do with building. I know we're all familiar with Ephesians 4:12. Paul says, "For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ." How do we perfect the saints? And to what goal? This is very, very difficult. Verse 13 says, until we all arrive, not just a minority, but we all arrive. Why did Paul say each one can prophesy? Because we all arrive. And then in verse 16, all the body being joined together and being knit together, functioning together unto the building up of itself. So Paul is desperate. And then Brother Lee touched Paul's burden. He also became desperate. Today we need to see that without prophesying, without each one prophesying, the church cannot be built up. Then all the saints cannot all arrive. May this desperation also rise up in our being.
Brothers and sisters, so we need to pay attention to the three aspects of related to perfection in these three chapters. In 1 Corinthians 14, we see the aspect of being in the meeting. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the gifted ones perfecting others for the building up of the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. So this training is aligned with Ephesians chapter 4 about perfection. Do you feel you've been perfected through this training? Yes, we're all being perfected by brother sharing. Besides Ephesians 4, after you go return, whenever you come together, maybe Lord's Day morning meeting, your small group meeting, we all need to have. We cannot not having any. Don't say that, oh, I just got saved. They have already spoken what I wanted to share. Maybe I'll wait till the next training. And then you get a boost. And then you go back and then it disappears in 2 weeks. No, that's not the way of prophesying. The perfection here is to help you to go back and you will have something whenever the saints get together in the morning revival and having companions. All these are very important in our daily life. It's important. Do you want to read the Bible? Yes. In 1974, Brother Lee talked about Book of Romans, and he break down Romans to 8 parts. And then in a few years, he broke it down to 4, and then later on, he broke it into 2 parts because he progressed in his seeing in the revelation that he received. In the 4 sections, he talked about in the elders training, and then the 2 sections that he talked about, and that's about the reigning in life. So all these are something that we need to get constituted, built into us. Now in Book of Acts, let's come to chapter 20, Book of Acts chapter 20. Maybe after you go back, this can help you. If you cannot put into practice after you return, then you this will not last. Chapter 20, verse 20. Let's read it together. How I did not withhold any of those things that are profitable by not declaring them to you and by not teaching you publicly and from house to house. The Lord's recovery. It's not just merely based on the building up by those gifted ones, but it's by all the members. And according to the measure of each one part, build itself up in love. How can we put this into practice? It's through house to house. So I hope after we return to our localities, not only we need to continue to attend conferences, trainings, whenever we come together, we need to prophesy and prepare. And I hope every week, at least once, we need to do house to house. What does that mean? That means you go find a saint. And then he or she can read the Bible, calling in on the Lord and pray reading. Or maybe you two can prepare the prophesying. Maybe you may say, Brother Ho, I have a lot of utterance. maybe when will be my turn to stand on the platform to speak? Maybe that day will never come. Forget about that, but go home and go house to house. Just find someone, one person, someone you love, you care for, and read the Bible and pray with that person and have that person to prophesy with you. Or you may say, oh, we have done this before. If you prophesy first, I'll follow you. I'll follow you, brothers and sisters. This is house to house. Can you follow me? Repeat that, house to house. Is it truly? Will you put that into practice? You may say, I am Paul number two, brother me number three. I am someone who supposed to have a lot more audience. Don't think about that. Don't think that way, but we need to do it house to house. Brother Paul is our pattern. We need to go house to house. Now we have burden. We're prophesying, we're burdened for ourselves and people around us. We all need to learn how to prophesy to build up the church.
I'll just give my own testimony. I was really touched by what our brother shared. In preparing for the prophesying, we need companions. After I came to Hualien, I feel what I gained the most is regarding preparing for our prophecy from Brother Liu Sui. He said, every morning, spend 30 minutes. He said, before you go to bed, you need to pre-read the content from the Holy Roll for Morning Revival for the next day. So no matter how late it is, I practice pre-reading, the content and maybe highlighting some sentences. And then the next morning, about 30 or so saints, from 6 o'clock, we start praying. Brother Liu Sui said, this is not morning revival, but morning prayer. He observed that we skipped the verses very quickly. He said, you don't need to read, just pray. Pray while you have read the previous day. So we come together to pray 15 minutes. I really enjoyed it. We have about 15 people, 15 companions. We pray reading again and again. In that process, we contemplate, we ponder. In the process, many inspirations came. Maybe while other saints are praying, I receive an inspiration. After praying, every minute, each one of us will prophesy. So every morning we practice pray reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying. So on Saturday, I am filled with notes to prophesy. So in the past, I used to have a lot of pressure, and a lot of times I don't remember what I pre-read, what I enjoyed in the morning. But now through prayer, it's solidified. So I can still remember. In the evening, in the afternoon, and sometimes during lunchtime, I will redigest what we pray read that morning, or after dinner, we digest it again. So I really feel this is a great practice. Little by little, we're constituted with a word.
I believe we have answered 9 out of 11 questions related to prophesying. The other two, one is, how do I know I have been renewed? I'm sure if you practice prophesying, your mind will be renewed. Try it. If you practice prophesying for 3 months and do it house to house and attending trainings and exercising every time when saints come together, I guarantee that you will be renewed and be transformed. The last question, if brothers and sisters have some problem, whether a psychological problem such as depression, what should we do? This is not really related to prophesying, but please don't be superstitious. Oh, she has depression. Let me just bring that person to call on the Lord. Don't think that way. Take that person to see a doctor. Depression requires medical help. Don't be superstitious. Our time is up. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is the urgent need. I hope it starts with you. You have one companion. Don't care too much about your face, whether you can say, you can speak well or not, but just take one person. Be your companion. Like our brother Paul, he's someone who gets perfected and perfecting others. Let's have some prayers.